The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
And we're back at it. The San Jose Sharks taking on the Florida Panthers tonight at 7 o'clock from the Tank. 6:30 pregame. Catch it all right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Dan Rusinowski and Dan Boyle on the call. I'm going to get right to it. I spoke with Brody Brazil just a little bit earlier today. Obviously, information about the lineup and such will not be out till closer to game time, but Brody and I had a good discussion about everything we have seen through last night's win against the Winnipeg Jets. Brody, one of the things that I was thinking about as I will date both of us is that you and I are old enough to be able to call upon every single Sharks game that has ever been played, and I know it's terrifying, and we're watching something right now in a turnaround that draws immediate comparisons of 93-94 when they started out 0-9-1 and then ended up in the playoffs making it to the second round. Jamie Baker's goal, of course, happens that year. It's one of the most historic years in franchise history. Is it wrong to make comparisons to that because we don't know how this season ends, or is it okay because that is a point of reference for us? We saw it with our own eyes.
I mean, 93 kind of started in 91 from scratch, right? So yeah. Maybe here in 25, are we saying that the Sharks started from scratch in 23 or 24, like they hit the reset button entirely? It's possible. There was so much newness going on back then, right? Like the move from the Cow Palace into the brand new building and being in their first ever playoffs. And yeah, that series against Detroit, who could ever forget that? So I don't know if there's an ultimate comparison to that time frame or even the time frame of when the Sharks got good around the 07, 08, 09 years. I think it all comes together in different ways. And I think even when the team, and it's not a matter of if anymore, it's only a matter of when, but when we see this group kind of come to their full potential, I don't know, this year, next year, the year after that, 2 years, whatever, I think it's going to formulate differently. So Sharks fans can't go back and say, well, this is going to be exactly like Thornton, Marlowe, Pavelski, Couture, Boyle, Heatley, all that stuff. It's not going to play out like that, but the success and the feeling, Ted, like last night at the Tank,
yeah,
to take care of another really good team and have a close played, well-earned, hard-fought win, I think that's the common bond, is that you know when your team is playing and feeling the right way. And I think getting back to that has been the most satisfying thing so far this season. What a tale of two seasons, like 0-6 to start, and then 6-3-1 in their last 10 games. You know, that one road trip, that 4-game road trip to New York, I don't know if it was Judy Jupiter. Is that right?
Yes.
Whatever it was, since then, it's not even just like, the wins and losses. You'll take them, you'll love them, but it's the efforts, like 10 straight solid efforts in a row. So I know that going back to your original question, you know, hard to compare this to anything else, but you know, the overall feeling feels the same.
Right, exactly. It's also everyone having fun after a very, very tough recent time frame, like the 92-93 year, which was very, very bad. Couple years have been bad. One of the things that's been kind of tickling my brain, Brody, you and I talked about it in the season preview, was we talked about expectations and, you know, kind of thoughts on the season. And one of the ones I had was that the Sharks would get out over their skis, get out to a hot start. And if they win those first two games, that is the storyline right now. If they had won those games against Vegas and Anaheim, then right now everybody would say, hey, they've got 8 wins. They're, you know, towards the top of their division. It's not that far out from that expectation. And I remember you kind of acknowledged what I was saying, that, yeah, they might just be so young and excited that they could overperform early. And I have no expectation of them to hold on, but now they're doing that. And it's fun because I always hate the, oh, they're so young that they don't know they're supposed to be bad. I don't buy that at all. I think it's that they are just having so much fun that they don't care that people don't expect them to be this good.
Let me paint an alternate reality for you here. Let's say that the Sharks started their season in the first 10 games going 6-3-1, and then since then had gone 0-6.
Right.
And then you'd be thinking, uh-oh, they were a fluke out of the gate. beginner's luck, so to speak, or they're not sustainable. And I think we would have, wow, a lot of questions and a lot of concern. And they'd have the identical record as they do right now. It's almost better to have this be the way it's played out. And you know what? What is this? I don't want to say what does the season matter. But ultimately, so long as we see substantial growth and progress in the overall rebuild, you and I are going to be pretty happy at the end of this season. If we can say some certain boxes got checked, and you know, I don't even know that we have time to define all those boxes, but every Sharks fan is pretty much aware of kind of the things you want to get done in this season. And if you can contend, if you can be in a playoff picture, all the more bonus to you. But I guess what I'm saying is that I'd rather have had them start out with a little bit of adversity and kind of earn this and feel really, really good about this and kind of prove who they are. Now, I think we're in the middle of this right now where the Sharks are not, they're not that 0-6 team. Like, I don't think this group was that. I don't think that was them. And I don't know if they're going to sustain going six wins out of and points in seven games out of every 10 the rest of the way. If they do, they're a playoff team.
Right.
So I don't know if they're entirely one team or the other, but I know which way they're edging towards and I know which way they're trending towards. And I think sustainability goes a long way. They're not having things happen in these games where somebody is going out of their mind. Yes, Macklin is, you know, posting a ton of points and Orlov has started to jump in that mix too and being a point producer. But all of these things, I don't see any reason why anybody is playing out of their mind and why most of this can't continue.
That's one of the things that I've appreciated is that, yes, there have been moments where Macklin has gone off or Will's had a 4 and 3 point game,
right,
things to that extent. But you're watching the second line come in. You're watching, you know, Ryan Reeves come up with more offense now that he's, you know, back in the lineup. We can see if he can do that again after he scored a couple goals early on. We've seen Skinner do it. We had seen previously before the injury, William Eklund. And maybe that's one of the more impressive things about this, especially the way they played last night, Brody. At the halfway mark of the second period, they turned it up to another level that I have not seen this year. Even though they just blew out Seattle, they were going up against the Jets last night. That was a different team. They were rolling lines, shift after shift, line after line. And they were doing it without William Eklund, who I, you know, had thought was playing his best hockey of the year. And that speaks to a little bit of the depth that I don't think that we actually knew was there. And suddenly it's like, oh, okay, this team has guys that can come in and out of the lineup, has the ability to win in multiple ways.
Kurashev, Wennberg, I want to throw those two names in the mix of some that you were just referencing, guys that have really stepped up. Shakir Mukhmudulin, what is he, Mr. Stretch Pass, Mr. Breakout Pass? But that type of awareness in game situations to start a scoring play from deep in your own end, I mean, my goodness, you know, everybody has impressed here so far this year. And they're all, I should say, since the turnaround, they're all clicking. I think there's a lot of different ways that this team can win. And to your point, you know, we're minus Misa and Dickinson right now. Mm-hmm. And granted, they are at the very beginnings of what I think are going to be tremendous NHL careers. I wish in both circumstances, you saw them last night. Obviously, Misa will be out a little bit longer. But I'm just saying, yeah, you're right. They are... not even full strength right now and able to do what they're doing. So it has been impressive. I'd be curious to know, you know, I don't know how deep the conversation has gotten inside the room or with the press and the media, but you know, like what was that turnaround on that road trip? It started with the Islanders game and you still lost that game, but it was well played. I think it was 4-3 final score. And then that first win to get over the hump against the Rangers, it took a couple overtime, real convincing overtime wins, like the same thing in Minnesota. But you know, it's just amazing how this season has turned almost on a dime. And as for the results, right, I think they had always been playing decent, but now the results are there and the way they're playing is definitely there. And we haven't even talked about goaltending, Ted, yet too. I mean, I think, like, you know, and granted, sometimes the goalies are reflective of how the play is going in front of them.
Right.
But last night, you know, for Ned to have those final 60 to 90 seconds where, you know, Winnipeg was throwing all the logs in the fire and they still couldn't score on them. And the whole time I'm watching it, you know, from ringside, just saying, all right, you've worked so hard. You got the late Will Smith goal. You earned this 2-1 lead. Don't even let Winnipeg get a point out of this. Don't take it to overtime out of this. Win the game. And Drew and I were saying afterwards, you know, this is how you know the Sharks have taken the next step. It's because we're not longer satisfied as much with, oh, that's a moral victory. And you played really well against Winnipeg and we'll take that progress. Last night we're saying, no, win the darn game. Almost in the infamous words of Ray Ratto back in the day, just go out and win the game. And you know what? They did that. And I think that's been really cool to see them, you know, get some results out of this.
You talked about Alex Nedeljkovic, and in game one, he had the most unfortunate sequence of events I think I've ever had a goalie had that close in the NHL in an opening night, what looked like a win. The one that bounced through his legs, I don't blame him. That's, you know, the hockey gods being cruel. I think the second one where he got kind of caught out and didn't commit, that's one that I think he wants back more than the other. Sure. But Brody, after that game, he was sitting there tapping on the table behind him as he was starting his thoughts with us. And you could tell he was running hot. And so now to see him in his last few starts just be shut down, it's not surprising, right? Like, we saw how good he had the capability of being, and now it's all coming to fruition, him and Askarov. And I think it's a great testament to Thomas Speer, because I think he is a bit of a goalie whisperer, although apparently we're not supposed to say that out loud and let it get to his ego. But I mean, he...
Spearsy has an ego? No. Oh, come on. I will not let you say that.
I saw him after the game last night. I said, hey, that was great coaching. And he said, come on, I'm just watching from above. I said, no, all those saves. But I mean, you can tell that he didn't panic, and he's always very positive with the guys. And now Askarov and Nedeljkovic, they're playing great. I mean, it's hard for Sharks fans not to panic, because recent memory is, oh my God, this team is a 20-win team. Right. But now suddenly they've worked through it, in theory, and they both look like they're playing to their full potential.
You know, as the very mediocre Curtis Brown and I used to say a lot on television, when you get into a goalie situation, there's like the four C's. I think there's a goalie controversy, there's a goalie conversation, there's a goalie competition, or there's a goalie conundrum. And those are all four different things. Like, sometimes you've got one guy that's hot. Sometimes you've got both guys that are hot. Sometimes you've got neither that are hot. But I love the way that it's going right now for the Sharks, in that, you know, Ned is maybe pushing Askey, and Askey kind of also has made a statement. And you really have two goalies independent of each other that are in totally different career situations, I think, you know, trying to accomplish different things, but both playing well. And I think you take this as long as you can. And I'll tell you what I'm really noticing, Ted, in this season, and I know you and I have done a season like this before, but when there are the Olympics, it's been a while since we've gone through this. Man, the pace of this is wicked. In terms of how many games, we're almost at a quarter point of the season. It's November 8th. Right? Like, we're 16 games in by the end of this upcoming week. Are we going to basically be at the quarter point? And so another back-to-back, tonight included, you need both guys. This is a season where, you know, I kind of came out and made a prediction. Oh, let's have Askey make 50 starts this year. Well, what I'm realizing now is I better dial that number back down a little bit, just because I think it's 36 games this year are back-to-back fashion. Or no, 32, I think. There's 16 back-to-backs this year, and we've already gone through some of them. So you're going to inevitably have that split of goalies. You need both guys this year. All teams need more than one goalie this year. So I just think we're fortunate to be there. I like the atmosphere around both. By the way, I thought last night when Winnipeg pulled their goalie, I thought Ned was going to, I thought, you know, that's his thing, right? Like, he can't wait to get a goalie goal for the Sharks. He's got one at every level of his professional career so far. But no, I think, and it also helps the fact that you've got a guy like Ned and Askey who have similar styles in wanting to play the puck, wanting to be a catalyst of the offense. I think that helps the D. I think that helps the forwards all kind of know what to expect too.
Brody, when you joined the team last year, I remember talking in private with you about how I felt Macklin Celebrini was already one of the best players in the NHL. I just wasn't going to go public with that because people would say, Ted, you're ridiculous. He's 18 years old. But I think that one of the things that I've learned from broadcasting sports and being around sports my entire life is that there are certain guys who are unique in their movements. And even though Macklin Celebrini is not the biggest or the fastest or the strongest, he is not Connor McDavid. And I'm not trying to say that, because just like nobody is LeBron James, it's unfair to make that comparison to someone who is gifted athletically as much as you can get. But with Macklin Celebrini, his movement, his skating, his timing, his rhythm, his vision, it's all extremely idiosyncratic, Brody. And I'm curious if you've come across that kind of take on him as well. Like, the way that he went backhand for that goal against Hellebuck last night, that was a unique move. It was interesting that's the way he went about it. And watching him now, I think everyone else has realized that, yeah, this kid is one of the best in the NHL already at age 19. You know, he's in the lead for scoring. You've got Connor Bedard, number two, and then you've got tied at the leading goals. It's Sidney Crosby at almost 40 years old. So, I mean, there's a lot of comparisons to be made right now, and all sorts of great names are being thrown into the mix when we're talking about Macklin Celebrini, but he's legit, Brody. I don't think anyone can deny it at this point.
Are we breaking news with this? Are we letting people know something that they haven't been? No, I think we're confirming, right? Like, maybe the way we felt the entire time. I will say it's body language. I think that's maybe the overall theme of all the little things you just put together. It's just you watch his body language and you see how confident he is and you see how ahead of the play he is a lot of times. I had the ability to be about 40 feet away from when he scored on Hellebuyck last night on that breakaway. He was being defended from behind. I didn't think two things. I've seen so many breakaways on that end of the ice at SAP Center where normally you're getting pushed on from behind and the Shark player doesn't even get the chance to get the shot off, right? Because it all happens too quick, or the goalie makes a great poke check. And Hellebuyck tried. Like Mac kind of dipped his shoulder, and as soon as Hellebuyck saw that, he went in for the poke check, and Mac, you know, deked right around him on the backhand pull. But it was the fact that also if he did get the shot off, he was probably going to backhand it into the side of the cage. And I'm telling you, the look and the perspective, I would have loved to have seen the reaction on my face, because I think my jaw hit the floor when I saw him pull that off, and not just against an NHL goalie, but Connor freaking Hellebuyck.
Right.
You know, like it was just an amazing play. I posted later on social last night that was one of the better, you know, top five things I've seen in person, individual efforts. And people are like, what? It was just a backhand pull. But I'm just saying, you had to see it in person at the speed against the goalie he did that on. And all that after, by the way, I think probably having his first dental incident ever in the hockey career. I didn't realize this until this morning. Like, Mac has had the birdcage on his entire career before this, right? Before the NHL. I don't think he had any dental issues last year. So when he got popped in the tooth with the toe of the stick, like, this might have been his welcome to pro hockey moment, right? And then he goes and scores a goal on it. So congratulations, Mac.
Yeah, don't tick off Macklin Celebrini. I think that's all part of it. And it's also a mother's worst nightmare. You know, his mom saw that. Can you imagine your wife or my wife, I think about this, if that had happened to either of our sons?
Yeah,
right. Just the complete freak out. And then also they're like, all that money and dental work now out the window. So it was funny. I got a laugh out of it. By the way, Brody, as a last one here, you know, the fact that, like I said, you got Macklin number one in scoring, Bedard number two, tied for the lead in gold is Sidney Crosby. You're watching Connor McDavid. You know, a lot of people kind of scoffed at that golden era campaign that started a couple years ago in the NHL, I 100% believe it's legit. And what's interesting to me in the Bay Area, where there's so much competition, there's a lot of people I know who don't really watch a lot of Sharks previously, and now they're starting to text me, and now they're starting to ask me about these Sharks and Macklin Celebrini, and you can see the permeation. And now it's a matter of them kind of taking that next step to where it does break through. Because even though they had the greatness of the earlier era, you know, when they made it to the Stanley Cup final, it was against the Warriors, which did not help. And just because, you know, that was the Warriors' time, for lack of a better term.
It was simultaneous when the Warriors were playing the Cavs and we were playing the Penguins.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, it couldn't have happened simultaneously. You're like, guys, you know, do this separate years. Like, don't, it was great for our region, but man, it kind of did take away a little bit of the limelight. Yeah.
Yeah. And now everyone's paying attention. And, you know, it really does make you think about where this could be in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fun. I mean, that's the other thing about this. We riffed last year about the Sharks are the most fun last place team, but this is a different kind of fun that we've been having in the last couple of weeks.
I think what you reference about people contacting you, people reaching out to me in the same way and saying, hey, what's going on with the Sharks all of a sudden? And it was when they saw Celebrini and Smith last year and saw some glimpses of that. And even so far within the first couple weeks of this season and even within the last week, and people I know in the media, they're all of a sudden like, hey, I got to start paying attention to the Sharks. And, you know, for people like you and I who are ride or die, ride and die, like we'll do everything with the team. you know, it's kind of refreshing to know that, you know, obviously we're sticking with it, but it's kind of nice to know that you know, the team and the way they're playing is inspiring a lot of people and winning them over and getting them interested all over again. I know we can, you know, you and I can get into the weeds on the technical aspects of what's going right with this team, but from the overall casual fan basis, it is good to see that. And my last thing I'll tell you is, last night when Ned held them off at the end, and when the horn sounded and when the Winnipeg Jets came and skated right out the visitor entrance, like right where I'm kind of standing at the end of the game. And it was such a familiar sight to see dejected visiting faces at the tank skate off. Like, that was something we got so accustomed to for years. But the volume of that crowd when the buzzer hit zero and seeing those faces be dejected skating off, I was like, wow, it's like 2014, 15, 13, 15, 16, whatever, all those years all over again. And it felt so darn good. So it's not a matter of, I've been saying this for a while, not a matter of if, only when. It'd be great to be pleasantly surprised this year, but I think we all realize, you know, at some point we will be where this team wants to be.
Brody, I'll leave it at that. I know you've got a family to get to, as do I. Appreciate your time, and I'll see you in a couple hours. We're back at it.
That's right. Like no rest for the wicked, no sleep for the what is that saying?
There's no rest for the weary. Is that what it is?
Ah, that's right. No, I just watched the Wicked show with my wife. Sorry.
Oh, nice.
No rest for the weary. See you later, Ted.
Again, that's Brody Brazil joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. We're out of time. 6:30 pregame, 7:00 go time. The Sharks host the Panthers tonight from SAP Center. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.